Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The state of the NFL address. Woohoo! Yes. Now, I remember the good old days when Paul Tagliabue was the commissioner of the NFL, and people would literally fall asleep listening to him drone on and on and on. And he has been around a while. Goodell's been the commish for many, many years. And as Roger Goodell speaks, it is a tradition. The piranhas are out to get Goodell. Now, he is not a sympathetic figure. And I certainly don't have any empathy for Roger Goodell, but the same thing's gone on the last couple of years with Goodell. He attempts to go on and talk about how wonderful everything is, and there's pyrotechnics going off and people losing their mind in the media. And it happened yet again. If you watch this, you might have seen it. Maybe you actually were sleeping. If you work overnights or if you're a podcast listener, you might actually have a day job. You didn't get to see it. But during the news conference, Roger Goodell was asked repeatedly questions about mostly Colin Kaepernick and the NFC Championship game. Those two things. Goodell acknowledging that there was a call that should have been made that wasn't made, he said, in the NFC Championship game. And he understands the frustration of the Saints fan. I love these journalists that get on their bully pulpit and rant and rave. All NFL fans need an explanation. I'm an NFL fan. I'm good. I'm going to enjoy watching the Rams in the Super Bowl. I don't need an explanation. You can put your explanation you know where. All right, before we get into this, though, let's go to the audio tape, as they say, and Goodell, who had clearly been taking notes. He has a group of people around him that are in charge of his image. That is why during the early rounds of the playoffs, they had video of Goodell showing up to strangers' houses to give them Super Bowl tickets. Because every day we know someone that makes $45 million a year shows up to strangers' houses to hand them Super Bowl tickets without it being a rigged deal. But here's the commissioner on the notorious final play, which wasn't the final play. That's the ironic part. But the play of note, the play of record, if you will, in that NFC Championship game.
We understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players, and whenever an officiating is part of any kind of discussion post-game, it's never a good outcome for us. But we also know our officials are human. We also know that they're officiating a game that moves very quickly and have to make snap decisions, and they're not going to get it right every time. We have worked very hard to bring technology in to try to make sure we can do whatever's possible to address those issues. But technology is not going to solve all those issues. The game is not officiated by robots. It's not going to be. But we have to continue to go down that path.
We have no choice to go down that path. All right, here's more from Goodell. And he pointed out that while many in the media are of the belief that you must have every one of these calls go to replay, all the judgment calls, that is not a universally agreed upon position.
The other complication is that it was a no call. Our coaches and clubs have been very resistant, and there has not been support to date about having a replay official or somebody in New York throw a flag when there's no flag. They have not voted for that in the past. It's something that we're going to put to the competition committee, but the reality is that's been at least an opposition philosophically for many clubs.
All right, so there's Goodell on that. But wait, there's more. We're not done. No. The issue here, the question and the answer here, and it again, it's more of the same about replay. And this is actually about replaying the entire game, which some lunatics, these losers in New Orleans, well, let's replay the game. I hope you choke on gumbo. Listen to this.
Roger, Did you believe that the NFL rulebook gave you the authority to overturn the result of the Rams-Saints games if you had chosen to do so in order to
replay the game?
Did you give any
replay
consideration
the game, Roger?
Mark, absolutely not. I mean, I think it's clear, and I actually wrote down the rule. The commissioner will not apply his authority in cases of complaints by clubs concerning judgmental errors or routine errors by
I
game
said
officials.
That last
Games
week.
Involving such complaints will continue to stand as completed. So that was not a consideration.
Yeah, these intellectual morons, that Mark Doofus, whoever that bloody moron is, read the damn rule book, you moron! I said it last week! Mike Florio and these morons, they read part of the rule book, they selectively leave out the other part, which I read. Saddleback College, I read it. Saddleback bloody college, I read it. All right, now, there's also a tradition when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, who sucked at the end of his career with the 49ers and decided to go into protesting, which clearly has worked out well for him. He got the Nike deal. But here is Goodell, again, every year asked about, the last several, about Colin Kaepernick.
As you noted at the beginning of your comments, we're here in Atlanta, one of the hallmark cities of the civil rights movement, where so many Americans at various points of time stood up for what they believed in. There's a segment of this society now that believes Colin Kaepernick took some similar actions, and we're now 2 years, I guess, removed
from a legend.
Being in the NFL. Are you comfortable collectively with how the league has responded to that, and do you have any concerns how history might look upon that?
I've said it many times, privately, publicly, that our clubs are the ones that make decisions on players that they want to have on their roster. They make that individually. They make that in the best interest of their team. And that's something that we as the NFL take pride in. Individual clubs make decisions that maybe another club won't do. And they all want to win. And they're all going to do whatever they can to win. So from our standpoint, that's our focus. And that will continue to be our focus.
Yeah, and dumb people can't figure that out. Oh, there's collusion! Oh, my God, collusion! Everywhere I look, collusion. DC, collusion. NFL, my player's not signed. Collusion. Shove collusion up your tuchus.
You're
with
fired.
This collusion. I'm so sick of hearing about collusion. All right, now the question is, did Roger Goodell botch the State of the League address? Because some are outraged. That was one of the great loaded questions of our time. Roger, he basically said, this is Colin Kaepernick's like Martin Luther King. You gotta let him in. That's essentially what he said. All right, anyway, did Goodell botch it? No, he didn't botch it. My thoughts here, you've got George Carlin, the Tasmanian Devil, and the Pollyanna. All right, now, first of all, Roger Goodell was in a no-win situation. Again, not a sympathetic figure, right? Not a sympathetic figure. Let's start with the whole Saints thing. The Saints fans are irrational lunatics. They believe losing a game that they had multiple chances to win after this great injustice is a sign of the apocalypse. Grow up. You never, ever, as the line goes, you never try to reason with a crazy person. The reason is, You can't. I mean, the old George Carlin famous advice, never argue with an idiot, right? Because they will bring you down to their level and beat you with experience. So as for the officials being human, for Roger Goodell, this is another reason the league cannot go to robotics. Right? That is the trump card. You've always got that in your back pocket. Although, if they did use more of the advanced technology, Goodell would then say that, well, these are humanoids. It takes time to work out all the glitches with the new technology and all that. Even when Apple comes out with a new iPhone, which happens every so often, there's glitches. They have to do updates on the phone and all that. But the artificial intelligence, work in progress. Now, so in an effort to pacify the angry mob, we played the soundbite there, Goodell threw out an olive branch, talked about examining again judgment calls for replay. Nothing is going to come of this. Nothing is going to come of this. It is a rabbit hole. Right? You're asking that people want more red tape. They want more bureaucracy. and they, you know, everything's fixed, everything's a rigged deal and all that. It's kind of like the way the court system works in America, right? If you don't get the judgment you want, you just keep going through the snake hole, right? The court system, and eventually you'll find, if you're looking for a liberal judge, you'll find that. Or if you want a conservative judge, you might have to go a little bit further, but you'll find what you want. It's a slippery slope. Now, meanwhile, did Roger Goodell point out that the Saints were the beneficiary of four blown calls against the Rams? No, because that's not the positive story, right? That's not the narrative that the media is trying to spread. Did Roger Goodell highlight that the officials had a gaffe on New Orleans, that infamous pass interference play? Did he point out that, yes, the call should have been made, pass interference, but also the video showed two penalties that were committed by the Saints prior to the ball getting out of Drew Brees' hands to the face by Andrews Pete, number 75, and also holding by number 67, the right guard, Larry Warford. Holding, right? And also the pass was tipped by Michael Brockers. Watch the video! He didn't mention that, right? No. He didn't do that because it would be lighter fluid for the crazies. And the commissioner also pointed out that, as we heard the audio, the extraordinary circumstances rule about replaying games, which we had last week, but these lies, dopes, it made for a good story, so why not just go with it? Now, secondly, let's address the Komodo dragon in the room, the Kaepernick derangement syndrome. There are groups of extreme knuckleheads in the media who have an agenda, the Johnny One-Note crowd, we like to call them, and it's to get Colin Kaepernick back in the league. That is their goal. They are there. They're enemy combatants. That is their goal, to get Colin Kaepernick back in the NFL, these social justice warrior foot soldiers. And whatever Roger Goodell says on that as well about Kaepernick, he gets raked over the coals. These people have tantrums. It is not a level playing field. It's kind of like getting the old school political establishment to say anything good, like Nancy Pelosi to say something good about President Trump, right? That they can't do it. They can. I mean, it's not. And these reporters are compromised. Now, for this branch of the football reporting world, Roger Goodell is the Tasmanian devil on a tricycle. Right, the last eight times Goodell has had a news conference, he has been asked about a guy who hasn't played a regular season or a preseason game in 760 days now. Colin Kaepernick is a shoe salesman. What other shoe salesman should work in the NFL? He works for Nike. He's an ambassador for Nike. That's what Kaepernick does. And clearly, he's not winning this collusion case, which I'm sure the Mueller special counsel's on that as well, as much as it's dragged on. And it just shows you people can't handle the truth. And Goodell referenced with that loaded question, he referenced the fact that each team makes their own opinion. He also said that, you know, later on in that news conference, Kaepernick, you want to win and all that, and he hadn't won. And it's hard to argue with that. I don't know how you push back on that, right? I mean, the last 24 starts, Kaepernick walked off the field a loser 20 of the 24 starts. He was 4-20 his last 24 starts. He never grasped how to read a defense. He turned out to be a one-hit wonder. He got off to a good start, and then his career fizzled. But anyway, the last thing here, the whole point of the state of the NFL address is to be a cheerleader, a male cheerleader, just like the Rams have. It's like when corporations give their quarterly report. If you play the stock market game, Wall Street, what they want to hear is rainbows and lollipops. What Wall Street wants is sunshine. They want that. They want a pot of gold. And this is the football world's way to report the health of the industry. Goodell gets up there, and he's got to be Mr. Happy, right? Pollyanna 101. Watered down, focus on the positives, avoid the negatives, put your blinders up. I'm not going to sit there and talk about the crappy stuff going on in the NFL, like shout out John Gruden and the Raiders. He's not going to do that. No, he's going to go through the list of all the great things. He'll avoid the fact that international barnstorming tours of the NFL aren't really that successful. And it hasn't worked. They keep trying to play more and more games in different countries around the world, and it just hasn't resonated with the locals. And it bothers. You have a lot of it bothers the NFL, but they won't like to talk about that because it's supposed to be positive. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. And this also, we'll bring in Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. The NFL made the right call when they canceled Maroon 5's news conference at the Super Bowl, which usually happened, it was Tuesday. It was supposed to be whoever performs the halftime show the Tuesday before the Super Bowl gets up on a dais and answers questions. Maroon 5. But who the hell cares about
the Super Bowl
halftime show anyway? It's so stupid. Who's watching the game because of the halftime show? I don't know.
Well, as you know, if you've listened to me, I've ranted on this before, I never watch the Super Bowl halftime show.
I do not either.
As a matter of fact, I've been to two Super Bowls, and I did not watch as I was there.
How many times has he said that in the last week?
Every day.
As I was there in person for the game, I did not watch Tom Petty or Bruce Springsteen, two of the most highly regarded American musicians of all time.
Where were you, Eddie? Where were you?
I went to the snack bar.
What game were you at? What game were you at?
Oh, the Super Bowl.
Oh, you were at the Super Bowl.
Two Super Bowls in a row.
He's mainstream.
I was at the.
I'm not. He is.
I was at the helmet catch game there in
Glendale. Mainstream Garcia. That was an illegal play, by the way.
The Steelers.
Elijah Manning was in the grass.
In Tampa. That was glorious.
That was wonderful. It was fantastic. I'm sure, just great. I'm sure the Cardinal fans. All two of them really enjoyed that. They liked that
but
a lot.
Why did they cancel the press conference?
Canceled
was something about
because
Kaepernick?
Because these same social justice foot soldiers were going to parade. Because this belief, no musical act can perform at the Super Bowl because apparently they all have to be in lockstep with Colin Kaepernick. And if they're not, they're, I guess, racist? I guess that's what they're trying to – they're shaming these musical acts. Maroon 5's getting ashamed because they're performing. And so – he just said, all right, fine, we're not going to have a news conference for these guys. We'll just have them focus on the Super Bowl halftime show or whatever, and they didn't put Maroon 5 up there. And that upset the reporters because they wanted to make things uncomfortable for Maroon 5. They wanted to make them seem shameful, like they're evil people for performing halftime show.
What does Maroon 5 have to do with Colin Kaepernick?
Nothing! That's the point! Nothing! Does Kaepernick have a musical background I don't know about?
I'm still confused. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, there's all these musical acts who were supposed to do the Super Bowl, and that's why Maroon 5's doing it, because all these other big stars said no because they're social justice warriors, and they're all
by no means is that racist or negative.
Yeah, the belief. Anyway, but this is confirmation that the NFL did the right thing based on Goodell's news conference when he kept getting asked loaded questions about a guy that hasn't played. Again, not that I'm keeping track of this, 760 days since he last played an NFL game, and every few months Kaepernick's attorney goes on TMZ and says, oh, we got something. We got something. It's going to come down the next week. And nothing ever comes of it.
Many, many French fries. Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So here we are. Let's see. We did the math on this. It was Sunday, a week ago from Sunday. So we had a full week. And we got through Monday. That'd be day 8, Tuesday, day 9, Wednesday, day 10. Now we're into day 11, and we are still yapping about those lunatics in Louisiana. Sean Payton emerged from a cave. I believe he lives in a cave, Sean Payton. Right there. Came out. The whimsical Saints coach spoke for the first time. He looked disheveled since New Orleans vanished from the postseason. Hocus pocus, presto, see you later. So how did Sean Payton, head coach in New Orleans, handle his team choking in the NFC title game? Call it what it is. Call it what it is. They choked. Yeah, they got a bad break, but they still had several chances to win the game. They had the lead at home, home field advantage. Most intimidating home field in the NFL, I was told. They never lose with Drew Brees. In the dome. Couldn't hold the lead. Defense. Better defense. Couldn't stop the Rams from getting a field goal. Won the coin toss. Did Drew Brees, Hall of Fame quarterback, fading MVP candidate? He was at one point. He's not going to win the MVP on Saturday. It's going to go to Patrick Mahomes. Did Drew Brees lead the Saints down for at least a field goal and put pressure on the Rams' offense? No. He threw an interception. Ah, choker. But the Saints still can't get past this imaginary, oh, we were this great injustice. Several chances to win the game. It's your fault for depending on the officials to make the correct call. Don't depend on part-time help to make the right call. The Rams didn't. They did not. They benefited. They won the game because they made the plays. All right, anyway, so what Peyton did was he continued his temper tantrum. And we have some of the audio. Let's go to the audio tape. Here is Sean Payton pointing out that this pain will resonate in his belly forever.
Obviously, there are disappointments that you go through relative to your season, and this one, you know, where it happened, you know, in the postseason, and we've got to be able to get past that, and we will. We've got good leadership on this team. I don't know that you'd ever completely get over it, but I think you do get past it. There's enough resolve, I think, that this time away is healthy, and when it starts back up again in the spring, and we'll look at that calendar, you get back at it again.
Now, this is going to haunt the Saints. They might not even make the playoffs next year. Drew Brees is 40 years old. And Tom Brady is the only one at age, you know, over that age that does well. And we saw Drew Brees fall apart at the end of the year. I would be surprised if Brees even makes it through the season healthy next year. So this is it. I mean, that was the end of the Saints. That sound you heard when the Rams won was actually the door closing on the Saints. Here's more from Sean Payton, and it's all about answers. I want answers.
There's been these events that at times potentially change rules. I like the fact that I'm a part of that committee, and certainly there'll be topics like this that are brought up. The topic's one thing. The solution's the more challenging thing that we're all looking for.
Yeah. Sure, you have all the answers. Yeah. Just like every other year in the past where this kind of thing happened and nothing changed. Here's more from Sean Payton, the really embarrassing coach in New Orleans, and it's all, again, about Roger Goodell, the conversation that took place. I want information.
My discussions on Monday and Tuesday with the commissioner and with Troy were relative to just not any type of reversal or anything like that. It was just simply the play that in any statement or look, there's tons of people that reach out to you. You get a ton of, you know, text messages and emails, and you're appreciative of all that. And then you just want to disappear into your cave for a while.
Well, he did. He went into a cave. You thought I was kidding when I said he lived in a cave? You thought I was joking. You thought I made that up. I didn't make that. He said he lived in a cave. Is there anyone in the NFL that's more humiliating, that's lost more of their luster than the New Orleans NFL fan? What a disgrace. What a joke. These people are an embarrassing, humiliating bunch of dopes. But listen to Sean Payton here, who claims since he lives in a cave, apparently they don't have television or radio in the cave.
I haven't really seen a lot of it. Look, we've got a fantastic, obviously a great fan base that's passionate, and as difficult as that is to happen at home, I can only imagine. I think they too, like our players and like everyone else, eventually you never forget it. You know, you move on from it though.
Yeah. So there's something else that Sean Payton said. He was asked how he handled the loss to the NFC Championship game, and he said, like probably normal people, he said, I didn't come out of my room. I ate ice cream and watched Netflix for 3 days. So, again, he doesn't have radio or television, but I guess they get some internet in there, some Wi-Fi, and he watches Netflix. But that, while it was a funny line, it was a fashion statement that he made, the Saints coach, that was the talk of the day. It stole the show. It upstaged everything else. By the way, you know the term upstage? When back in the olden days of theater, the stages were not flat. They were at an angle. And the people that were in the back of the stage, they upstaged the actors that were at the front of the stage because they got people in the crowd had a better view. That's why it's upstage. It's a random stupid thing that I have in my head. I'm sorry. But anyway, get to the point. So there's a fashion statement that Sean Payton made that everyone's buzzing about. I saw this or not or heard about it, and it was mostly covered up. It was mostly covered up by Sean Payton because he had kind of a jacket over this or a sweater over it. But Sean Payton Underneath the sweater, it looked like he had a Barstool Sports Roger Goodell clown nose shirt on it. Underneath, you can see the very top of it. And people noticed it, and they're like, wait a minute, I think that is the Goodell clown nose shirt. I believe that the coach of the Saints is doing this as he speaks out regarding his incompetence as a coach in the NFC Championship. So I want to talk about this. Now, the question is, did Saints coach Sean Payton troll the NFL with his shirt? And after a thorough Maller militia investigation, I had several P1s email me this story. You got to talk about this, Maller. All right. Calm down. I'm talking about it. I investigated. I am 100% certain. Not 99.9999%. 100%. Sean Payton wore the clown nose with Goodell. He did. He did. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No weasel words. No wiggle room. None.
You little weasel.
My thoughts. We've got LeBron's playbook, Guzzling, and Mirror, Mirror. Let's link this together. Now, we begin with the fact Sean Payton, you know what he's acting like with this, hey, I sat in a cave 3 days and ate ice cream and watched Netflix. He is acting like a brokenhearted woman. The cliche in Hollywood, right? Sitting on your couch, eating bonbons all day and crying. That's what he's claiming he's doing. Now, some of this was just having fun. But how about you act like a grown-up? How about you act like a grown-up? And as for the shirt, now, I thought it was funny. But it really is pouring bleach on Roger Goodell. It's also not original. Remember a couple years ago when the commissioner was all chafed because Matt Patricia, at that time the Patriots' defensive guru, he was the forefather of this. He wore the clown nose shirt getting off the plane. Getting off the Patriots team plane, he had the clown nose, the Goodell clown nose on. After the Super Bowl, he was rocking. The fact that Sean Payton attempted to hide 97% of the shirt, it's embarrassing, right? If you're going to do this, do it the right way. Own it. Own it. He didn't do that. Right out of LeBron James' playbook, passive-aggressive behavior. It's like, I want to get back at Roger Goodell, but I want to do it in secret. That's passive-aggressive behavior by Sean Payton. He's like, I'll deliberately let everyone watching know that I've got this. I'll give him a little taste, a little appetizer. Like when you go to Costco this week, you're supposed to go to Costco because it's big Super Bowl week. Best samples of the year at Costco this week. If you're a Costco member, you should know that. But Sean Payton, it's like breadcrumbs. Like, I'll let you see the very top of the shirt. He wants to have his cake. He wants to eat it too. He's like, I want to show you that I'm trolling the commissioner, but I would like to have plausible deniability in case I get asked about this. I'll say no. I'll deny it. Now, furthermore, Sean Payton is the perfect coach for the Saints. Why? He is guzzling the same wackadoo-doo juice that the fans in the bayou have been drinking over the last 11 days. You talk about preaching to the choir. And you know, President Trump ought to send in Marine helicopters to drop off meds and offer therapy to the incoherent and unhinged Saints fan base. I mean, 11 days! 11 days! Sitting around eating ice cream and watching Netflix. Now, again, that was for comedic reasons, and it's fine, but let's say that was true. What a loser attitude. I want winners! You can't win with them. I want winners.
I want winners.
Damn right.
I want people that want to win.
Yeah. Sean Payton like a toddler. Somebody change his diaper. Did he change his diaper? Maybe he had a diaper on all 3 days. He didn't even go to the bathroom. Yeah. Pouting, sulking, and whining. Get over. I got no empathy for this bozo. As I said, the Saints had plenty of opportunities to win the game. And anyone that's ever played a professional sport or amateur sport or any sport knows if you're depending on the officials to give you the proper call, you're the loser. Never put the game in the officials' hands. The Saints should have won that game against the Rams by 40 points. They had the Rams at the pearly gates, and the Saints couldn't do it, couldn't get it done, couldn't get her done. Now, finally, Sean Payton has to do some soul searching. I say, look at the mirror, mirror on the wall. That's what I say. This blame the officials mantra, it's unbecoming. As I said, great coaches know that you should never put a game in the hands of the referees. Should never have been throwing in that situation. It's like asking politicians to lower taxes. It's unreasonable. They're not going to lower taxes. That's how they get their money. Sean Payton was terrible at play calling. And his hissy fit on the sidelines, there's a direct correlation, causation between Sean Payton losing his lunch on the sidelines and the entire 53-man roster imploding. Like he took a plunger to a toilet and the toilet's still clogged, and it's clogged because of Sean Payton. Multiple double-digit leads they blew. Had a field goal lead the final 2 minutes at home. Couldn't hold it. Won the coin toss. Turned the ball over. Some mentally weak football team. They became unglued. And the better team, the Los Angeles Rams, won that game. And I think all of America can appreciate that the Rams are in the Super Bowl. The ratings are going to be great. Biggest ratings of all time for the Super Bowl this weekend. Everyone loves the Rams. Fred Dreyer was in here yesterday, former Ram legend. It's going to be tremendous. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold Garcia, who's right over there.
Oh, Ben, I know you've gone down this journey, and I'm going down it again. I think Coop is even doing something as well. I want to diet again.
Oh, you
trying
are?
Trying to lose
all
some
right.
weight. I've been good for a couple of weeks, have not visited the vending machine.
Okay.
And I think don't play that music.
Which diet? There's 7,000 different diets
counting calories. It's the, and you know,
okay,
exercise.
So that's your move?
Yeah.
You count calories?
It's just the, I go with the classics.
I don't like the math on that.
That's okay.
I don't like the math on that.
I went to Costco today.
You did?
I did.
I have not gone yet.
I did.
How was it?
It was great. And they did have the big guns out. They had
chicken wings?
They had the I did not see the well,
no.
Here's the thing.
I
was going quickly through the aisles, you know, not wanting to get tempted.
No.
But I did see chili. They were giving out samples of chili.
It's not bad.
They were giving out samples of tortilla chips with melted cheese selling.
Ooh.
I did pause briefly at the tortilla chips and the guacamole were selling.
A little guac there. That's expensive. Guacamole is expensive.
It's delicious, though. I love
that
guacamole.
Is that racist? Wait. All right. So
I moved on. I did not take any of the samples.
Oh, because you're dieting.
I feel like if I could go through Super Bowl week through Costco without getting the samples, I think I think I'm on a good road here.
No, I disagree, and I'll tell you why. First of all, there's no calories in Costco samples. When you go to Costco, there's no calories.
Well, that's not true.
They're calorie-free. That's number one. When I go to Costco on a sample run, what I do, I know the Costco near me, what they do, when you go in, they kind of there's an entrance, obviously, and they put the food on the opposite side. So they want you to go down, I call it Sample Alley.
I don't know what is yours, but for me, it's on the way to the registers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so what I do is I go rogue. I know they want me to only go down Sample Alley when I'm leaving. But I walk across the Costco, and I walk up Sample Alley against the flow.
Against the grain, yeah.
Against the jet stream, so it takes a little longer. And I do my first sample run that way, directly going the opposite direction. And it throws off the Costco sample people because they're not used to that you're supposed to go down, not up, and I go up.
Yeah, they usually look to their right because the people are going through. And then all of a sudden, here's this big guy to their left. Yeah. What's going on here?
And then I see everything, Eddie. And then I know my strategy. If I want to hit something three times, I can go down the aisle and a back around. That's my second. And then I can just come down straight down the aisle and get that third. So that's smooth. So how long are you going to be on the diet? There's 2 weeks you should not diet it. You should not diet Halloween week. Well, actually, 3 weeks. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Super Bowl week, you should not diet. The rest of the year, there's 49 other weeks you can diet.
Well, I was so bad Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
Really? You went
that
for, you went
I'm
for
like,
it.
I'm like, this is, at some point, I got to draw the line. So I have drawn, okay. I'm not going to go crazy at the Super Bowl. I'm not going to a Super Bowl party. Just going to watch it at home. It's a Maller maneuver.
Good.
And I will get something tasty, but nothing crazy.
Yeah. All right. I like the fact, though, that what you did is you did not, like, January 1st say, oh, no, it's January 1st, I'm going to start a diet. That's good. I like that you picked a random day in January to start a diet because that's what you're supposed to do. Those whole New Year's resolutions and all that.
I've done it before, and it doesn't work out. So.
No. I go to the gym. I see all these new people in January.
How long does that last?
Nah, most of them are gone already. But I guarantee you by mid-February, none of them will be there. They're all gone. You know, it's the same seven people that go every morning I see, and they're there, whatever, so no matter what goes on.
I, too, went to Costco, Ben.
You did?
Oh.
Yes. And I also am trying to diet, eat better.
Did you avoid the temptation?
Those are samples. Like, they're just little tastes.
Still? No calories.
Yeah, there's no calories in samples.
I see.
It was a good haul.
It was a good haul. So Coop did not do it like me. He did not resist temptation. He gave in.
Well, I didn't. Okay, so I mean, I didn't go back for seconds or thirds, but I did hit up every table. Right. I had a chicken patty with avocado spread, veggie patty with hummus. There was all kinds of coconut clusters.
Coconut clusters. That's something I would never eat other than a Costco sample.
Right.
But I will eat it at Costco. I would never go to Costco saying I need to get some coconut clusters. But at Costco, I'm like, oh, I'll try.
And what was great, because this is a rarity at Costco, there was also a lemonade sample stand. So to quench your thirst, you don't always get drinks.
You don't. You usually have to go to they have a water fountain you have to go to sometimes. That's so you have to go in the back. But
no such thing as dieting. Just portion control, guys. Portion control.
I disagree.
Portion control and exercise.
No. Here's what you do. You intermittent fast. You go like a whole day without eating, and then you can eat a big meal. Man. I like to eat a nice big meal. But I have to do that. To be able to do that, I have to go an entire – I haven't eaten since Tuesday night. I had a meal Tuesday. I didn't eat all Wednesday. Didn't do it.
Wow.
Didn't have a bite to eat. Just had some water. That's it. Have a good meal on Thursday.
Oh, no.
And that's it. Apparently, I'll have a really good meal Thursday because apparently we're getting gifted some delicious food.
Oh, yes. We have to plan accordingly for that.
Cut back a little bit on the snackage.
Yeah. Oh, no snackage.
No snack.
No snackage.
Yeah. All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right. Here we go. Let's do it.
Right. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And the Koobaloo.
Been adding more drama to the Lakers situation are reports that Kyrie Irving is interested in a reunion with LeBron. Does this worry you as a Celtic suck-up?
I don't need the laugh track, weather with Roberto. Listen, it doesn't worry me at all. I take these NBA rumors with a grain of salt. 99% of them are make-believe. It's creative writing. Nobody breaks down regular season NBA games. No one talks about them. So to create a story, you have these fairy tales about these players joining forces, and most of them don't happen. Right? Drives eyeballs online. And B, Danny Ainge, you know, he knows what to do. If he has to investigate, if Kyrie Irving is conspiring with an enemy team, then if I'm Danny Ainge, I say, fine, I'll trade your ass. I'll get rid of you. I mean, Celtics are fine either with Kyrie or without him. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals. He didn't play in the postseason. They got to the Eastern Finals without him. All right, next.
And during the Super Bowl press conferences on Tuesday, Sean McVay vowed to get Todd Gurley more involved during the game. Ben, how important do you think a successful game for Gurley is for the Rams?
I'm going to blow you away with this. It is not important at all. Number one, the objective is to score more points than the damn Patriots. It becomes, you know, the arithmetic on this becomes harder. If Gurley's not a supernova like he was against the Cowboys, if Gurley's more like he played against the Saints, which was on an exercise bike, that's problematic. But other people have to pick it up. C.J. Anderson, he's got to be the butterball turkey going through that Patriots defense. The key for L.A. is the renaissance of the Rams defense. And Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald together, that is what will drive if the Rams win the championship. All right, next.
Now, reports yesterday out of Miami said that the Dolphins are planning on tanking next season.
Yeah.
But we also heard that the Redskins don't expect Alex Smith at all in 2019. Should the Redskins be tanking?
No! You know how I feel about tanking. I hate tanking. Tanking blows. I don't endorse snake oil, and that is a scam, is what it is. The hardest thing to do is to build a winning environment where you have accountability and expectation of success. And when you tank, you get all of that. You go away to the depths of the Cleveland Browns of hell. So, no. It's not open-heart surgery. Tanking encourages bad things that stay with franchises. No, no, no. How do we do, Coop?
Ben, you pass this.
That up. Is a winner!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's get to Ask Ben. Here we go. Ask Ben, your questions, our answers in the Magic Radio Box.
It's now time for...
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. We pass the mic over to the Coop Aloop.
All right, Ben, we're going to start with a question for you.
All right, I'm excited.
It's a good question, so if you want, we can have everybody answer it, but they directed it only to you.
Of course.
It's from Derek on Facebook.
Hi, Derek.
Ben, if you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family assume you had done?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think. What do they think? I don't know. Steal something, maybe, I guess? I don't know.
Wow. Klepto.
Cheat on his taxes or something.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah,
gamesmanship. You'll tell the IRS.
Yeah. I that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, one of my goals is to try to stay out of jail. So I would say nothing. But I guess if you had taxes, it's probably good. Or stealing from Uncle Sam. What about you, Eddie?
I would say road rage incident.
Road rage.
I'm usually a pretty mellow, nice guy, but I will say things and do things when people are idiots on the freeway. That I normally would never do. So I'm going to go with road rage incident.
That's not bad. But I've learned, though, is the power of the hidden bird is very good.
I don't hide the bird.
I hide it. But I will drive by with a smile on my face and double birds below where you can't see, and I'll feel really good. I'll feel really good when I do that. What about you, Roberto? If you were to get arrested, what would your wife and your lovely daughter think you had done?
Probably I got him in a fight at some game or something.
Gotta fight a Raider game.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right. What about you, Koopaloo? If you get arrested, what would it be? Stealing some food from the buffet? Or something?
No,
like
it would. It would definitely. They would assume it'd be marijuana related.
Weed related.
Yeah,
that's like an old take though. Now in California,
You still can't. I mean,
I saw. Did you see that story? Can't the other drive. Day? They're lowering the tax on weed in California because it's cheaper to buy it from your local dealer than it is from the state.
I did not hear that.
Yes, they're talking about lowering the tax because they're not
talking about it. It's not official.
Well, it's politicians. It takes forever. But they thought they were going to make more money, and like people are like, well, my local weed dealer is cheaper, so I'm not going to spend the money with the state. And so like, well, wait a minute, we'll lower the tax on it, we'll make more money. So anyway.
Interesting.
All right. So ask Ben. We'll do another one real quick.
This is for everyone as well. This is from Troy on Facebook. It's a morbid question, he warns. If you had to lose one of your senses, which would it be and why?
Smell. I'd be okay without my sense of smell because, I mean, you know, you smell a skunk or you take, you know, a really nasty fart or something like that. I'd be okay with not smelling that. Be all right. Now, you'd also not smell cinnamon rolls when they come out of the oven. You wouldn't be able to smell that. You wouldn't be able to smell the really good stuff. But the bad stuff, you wouldn't have to smell anymore. So I
like to smell my own fart sometimes.
Mark tape. There you go. All right. Thank you. Yes. What about you, Eddie? What sense would you?
Yeah. It has to be smell because the other ones are just too great. Taste and feel and sight and sound. Oh, you got to go. You got to go. Smell.
Yeah. Does Roberto know all the senses? You know all the senses.
I would say smell.
You go smell. All right. Yeah. You're just copying off my work. You're cheating off my work. How dare you?
No, I mean, that's the only right answer.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Although sometimes when I hear Weed Man talk, I think my hearing maybe.
Lame jokes are tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We'll press on. We'll pause for the cause. Keep the questions coming in. It's Ask Ben as the iconic sportscaster. He was a newsman. Years ago, Larry King said, when I used to watch him as a kid, he'd say, for the rest of the hour. All right, so we'll get to that. Ask Ben next. And we continue. Ask Ben, your questions, our answers to the rest of the hour. And the master of ceremonies, the Coop de Loop, the selector of the questions.
All right, Ben, another question for you.
All right.
This is from Matt on Facebook. Ben, what would make you more upset, seeing Danny G in the photo with Deshaun or a photo of him with William Shatner?
Well, both are equally offensive. Both have blocked me on Twitter, but considering Shatner's like 130 years old, what he did, I'm not going to even say that person's name, because to me that's blasphemy. That's one of the eight deadly words. So, but Danny did was, you know, treasonous is what it was. It was an act of disrespect for all I did with Danny. I don't know that we can ever patch up our relationship. So I think he has crossed the Rubicon. Next.
All right, this question is from Justin in Cincinnati.
Hi, Justin. I hope you freeze your ass off.
He wants to know that
what?
If you were sentenced to death, how would you go out? This is for everyone.
If I had to choose my own death,
if you were sentenced to death, it has to be some form of
okay, so one of the usual.
Yeah.
So what do we have? We have the electric chair, we have lethal injection, and we have firing squad. Am I missing any?
Hanging.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I want to leave a good corpse behind. I want to leave a nice-looking corpse. Everyone says lethal injection, but I'm guessing that hurts at the end anyway, right? I mean, might as well go out with a bang. Maybe a firing squad? Be unique. Aren't there only a couple states that have the firing squad?
Yeah,
it's very rare
like
these
Utah,
days.
Utah, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Texas? I don't know.
you would think.
Electric chair, right?
Just to be different, I'll go firing squad. Eddie, what about you?
I'm trying to, you know, what's quicker? Just get it over with.
Hanging. Wouldn't hanging be the quickest?
Well, not if your neck doesn't break on the
really?
The drop, yeah.
Okay.
I guess I got to go with the old boring lethal injection.
Oh, come on. I use firing squad. That's unique. Roberto.
Let's go with the hanging.
Hanging.
Yeah.
That's fun. Why not?
Yeah.
That's old school. That's barbaric. That's primitive is what that is.
Hanging. I like to smell my own fart sometimes.
Public hanging, right? All right. What about
you? Wait. Blindfold or no blindfold, Ben?
Well, I don't want to scare the children, so I'd blindfold.
Okay.
You know. What about you, Koopaloop?
I do want to scare the children. I want to haunt your dreams. So I'd go electric chair, foaming at the mouth, burning
catch
hairs.
On fire.
Yeah,
like
burn,
in the old Green Mile.
Baby, burn. And you'd eat like 17 hours worth of food before, so it'd be even worse. Right, food would be bubbling
you can just
up.
Smell and, chicken and waffles
from your rotting,
oozing from
my your rotting corpse. Yes. All right, that's lovely. Happy, happy Thursday. Yeah, that's great. Okay, let's keep it going. It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers for the rest of the hour. These are actual questions from listeners like yourself.
Real quick, Ben, I want to shame the people on Twitter.
Good.
Usually that's where I get most of the questions from.
Yeah.
Weak sauce this week. I'm getting them all from Facebook.
Okay.
But real quick, I will ask you this one. It says from Dan in Facebook, for the longest time, your drawn-out intros for Eddie always ended with a heavy emphasis with you practically shouting Garcia. Then it suddenly ended, and you just say it normally.
Yeah.
How come? Why did this change come about? Did Eddie object to your tone?
No, not at all. I watched Manny Machado play for the Dodgers. I said he's going to get a big contract. I want to be like Machado and be lazy, and so I'm going half ass, and that's what I chose to do. There's no reason for it. I mean, you want me to do it again, Garcia?
No. All right,
next.
Let's do this one from Opie on Twitter.
I don't know who that
is. You don't sound excited about it.
Ben, you've been nominated for the 2020 presidential election.
Well, I have been in many elections with Doc Mike as the vice presidential candidate.
You have to pick one.
Who
would be your running mate? Whoopie Pie Blair or Weed Man?
Hmm. All right. Well, listen, both are great. Weed Man, I believe, has more of a national following. Whoopie Pie Blair is a huge star in Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire.
But he still has time to get back to his community.
Yeah, like I could get the whole weed vote with Weed Man. You know, I could get the whole vote. So I think I'd go with Weed Man. He'd be mine.
Oh, he's so excited to hear you say that.
Yeah, it's orgasmic. Benny and the Weed Man! Benny and the Weed Man!
And I won't be a Mexican.
Download the podcast. I'm not Mexican, Weed Man. All right, let's keep going here. Ask Ben, your questions are answered.
All right, this is a group Ask Ben question from Will PG.
Will, I will.
How cold of a temperature do you think you can handle without complaining?
I don't know. I was in Stamford, Connecticut during a snowstorm, and I thought, I'll walk the three blocks to my hotel room from the restaurant I was at, and I froze my ass off after half a block. So I like to complain. I'd complain about anything. I don't know. I've been in weather down to like 10 degrees, so I guess that's my baseline. Anything? What about you, Eddie?
I haven't been in a lot of cold weather. I'll say, something in the 20s I'll definitely complain about.
I've been in that a lot. What about you, Roberto?
Yeah, 20 degrees, 10 degrees.
Koopaloop?
60. Anything below 60, I'm complaining. 50,
it's 58 outside.
Yeah, it's cold.
Panic, 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 panic.
Got a motor, gotta go.